person in this chapel. We give you praise and honor and glory for this day. I pray that the sheep of your pasture, you have given them ears to hear. And Father, Jesus told us that his sheep hear his voice. I pray that all the sheep this morning hear his voice. Never forget what he says. May it be embedded, entrenched. I mean, Lord, just in their heart forever and ever and ever. And may the words of John chapter 10 that we're in this morning, let not one word be familiar, where it's that deadly familiarity. But Lord, let it be fresh. Let it be new. Let the living word of God not only impact our hearts, but excite our hearts as well. We pray over this divided nation. We pray over the issues that are happening, and we pray for every father, mother, sister, brother, child, grandparents, whatever it may be, who have lost needlessly the people there at Las Vegas. Lord, we no longer try to make sense of what's happening in the world or in our country. We only look to you, the author and the wonderful finisher of our faith. Father, please help me now. Bring all things to my remembrance, and may I disappear, and may they hear the word of Christ. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to John chapter 10 this morning. We're just about halfway, if you will, with this incredible gospel. Remember that the gospel of John, 92% of what we're going through is not found in the other gospels. It's unique only to the gospel of John. We left off last Sunday with the Good Shepherd part 1. This is the Good Shepherd part 2. We left off with the fourth saying of the fourth I am of the seven sayings of Jesus, which this one, I am the good shepherd. There in verse 11, Jesus says something to us. He says, I am the good shepherd. Boy, he is good. Amen. Everything that Jesus does is good. He is preeminently good, preeminently excellent. He is the shepherd above all shepherds. He is the savior of the world. Amen. He wants everyone to come under his rule, if you will. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd as well. Now, with all that being said, it says in verse 11 that he gives his life, he lays down his life for the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. This morning, I want you to look at verse 28 with me. And I pray that this becomes embedded in your heart. It says, Jesus said, and I give them what? Eternal life. Say it again. Eternal life. And they shall never, I love that word, they shall never perish, talking about the sheep of his pasture. He says, neither shall anyone, no one at all, will be able to snatch them out of my hand. Now listen carefully this morning. Yesterday I heard an interview with a pastor of a 5,500 member church in Chicago, Illinois. And they were on this interview that they were doing, which actually the person is the pastor of the, I think it's the second largest Presbyterian church in America, 5,500 members, and they were asking questions. And here's one of the questions that they ask. They said, is Christianity the only way to heaven? Here's the reply of the pastor. No, Christianity is not the only way to heaven. How would you like if I stood before you this morning and said, I believe some of this book, but I don't, well, some of it I just don't believe. What kind of authority? Listen, that's horrible. I'm not condemning this person. I'm just saying, I don't buy any of that. So they go on and they say this. They said, no, absolutely not. Christianity is not the only way to heaven. And then it says, so they ask another question. They said, well, said sometimes this person, this pastor, they said, I regularly doubt that God even exists. Then they went on to say this. For instance, in the aftermath of the deadly Las Vegas massacre, here's what they said. God has some explaining to do to me. Then they said, well, what do you think about hell? The reply was, I don't think the God that I know from the Bible will be sending anyone to hell. This is an epidemic. This is a virus that is spreading all across the Christendom in America, doubting the authority of God's Word. Now, if we can't take God's Word as truth, then what are we going to base anything on? Do we pick and choose? What do we pick and choose? Are we saved? Are we not saved? The reason I brought all this up this morning, or bringing this up to you, is this. This morning, we're going to talk about the most precious and greatest possession that any person can have in all of the universe, and that is eternal life. Do you ever just think about that you have eternal life if you're in Christ Jesus? There's no other person that you can find eternal life, only in Christ, no other way. Jesus is our Savior. He is the Good Shepherd. Amen? With all that being said, let me just read this scripture to you from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." And here's why. "That you may know," or if you read it in the Greek, it would be, "that you know absolutely, certainly, that with all surety, that you may know that you have," past tense, a present reality, "that you have eternal life." I pray this morning, if you are in a doubt about your walk, if you are the sheep of his pasture, if you're born again, then listen carefully. You need to listen to these words of our Lord. Beginning in chapter 10, Jesus now, the public ministry is coming to a close. And what's sad about verse 22 and following is that they're all filled with unbelief. The religious rulers, he came to his own and his own received him not. They did not trust him. They didn't believe in him. So now after chapter 10, Jesus is preparing, of course, to go to the cross. And this is the final confrontation, if you will, that he has with the religious rulers beginning in verse 22. "And now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." So about 2 months have passed now since last week. And the Feast of Dedication, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it's only found here in the Bible, okay? A Feast of Dedication, which is also called or commonly called the Feast of Lights or Hanukkah, which is still celebrated today. It's not from the Law of Moses. It was instituted by the Jews back in about 165 B.C., when Judas Maccabeus, or Maccabeus, however you say that last name, went in there, and remember, he reclaimed the temple. He removed all of the idols and all the stuff and rededicated it to the Lord, and a great revival took place. And Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a Syrian ruler, had gone in at that time, and he was a hater of the Jews. Matter of fact, he hated the Jews. He killed at least 80,000. He was a brutal man. He is a foreshadow. If you read Daniel chapter 8, he was a foreshadow of the Antichrist, all right? But he was brutal to the Jewish people. He wanted to wipe Judaism, the worship of God, completely off the earth. He made it a capital offense. If you had a copy of the law, you were put to death. If you rested on the Sabbath, you were put to death. If you had a child born and then on the eighth day, according to the Law of Moses, the male child was to be circumcised, if that occurred, here's what he would do. He would go and get the infant child that was 8 days old, and he would personally kill it. Then he would take the child and he would, with a rope, and wrap it around the neck of the mother. And then he would crucify the mother in front of all the people in Jerusalem. He was a wicked and brutal, brutal person. There was one incident, and this is all biblical history, that where he took seven sons and he brought the mother out to watch as he killed all seven sons. It's almost too horrible to even say what he did. He literally removed their tongues. Then there were hot, gigantic, hot pieces of metal where he fried each one of the boys alive in front of his mother. And after he killed all of them, he went and killed the mother. He was the most brutal hater of the Jews. That's why he is a foreshadow of the Antichrist. He took the temple chambers and he turned them into brothels. He went into the Holy of Holies and he set up the statue of Zeus, if you will, Jupiter, worshiping him. And then he took a pig and sacrificed it there on the brazen altar and took pig's broth and spread it all over the temple area. He was a vile, ungodly hater. He had to have been demon-possessed. He died of a horrible, horrible disease, Josephus says. Matter of fact, whatever it was, worms or whatever that invaded his body, it says that the stench of his body was so unbearable that he himself couldn't even stand to be with himself, but he couldn't get away. He finally died. Listen, biblical history is an amazing thing, isn't it? But I don't want to spend any more time on that Feast of Dedication. Study it out. You'll be, matter of fact, it happens in December, okay? December 25th. Amazing, isn't it? Now, with all that being said, look at verse 23. Now, Jesus is there, and it says that he's walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. So that was the Solomon's porch, remember? That was back in the time of Solomon's temple. So that's the only thing that remains of Herod's temple, which was in Solomon's temple, that Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC didn't destroy. And then it says, and then the Jews, look what they did. They hemmed in Jesus. They surrounded him on all sides, and they said to Jesus, how long will you keep us in doubt or in suspense? If you're the Messiah, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. In other words, don't keep us hanging in the air. Tell us what the truth is. And Jesus said to them, I told you. In other words, I have already told you plainly. And you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In other words, they're clear evidence, the healings, the miracles, all that I've done, that I come from the Father. But you do not believe, and look at the reason why, because you are not my sheep as I said to you. You know, when you think about the people who had God's word, there they are, the Pharisees, they have the long robes of phylacteries, man, you know, with the word of God right by their forehead, you know, and all of that, the little trumpet in their pocket so they can blow and lay on the street corner during the marketplace and give alms. Here they are wanting the tithe. Boy, they would tithe the mint. They were so perfectionist. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, is standing right there speaking to them, and they're blind. They don't trust Christ at all. Jesus had told them, he said, you know what's wrong with you? Remember back in, I think it was chapter 8, he says, you're not able to listen to my word. And there's a lot of people that's not able to listen to God's word. Amen? You can mention any false god in the world in a conversation. You know what I'm saying? You can just make a list and talk to them about anybody. You can talk about UFOs. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, whatever, number 51. What is that called? Something 50. Area, thank you. God, there were so many. I thought y'all were speaking in tongues. I didn't know what that was. Area 51. You know, oh yeah, let's talk about it. You know, how about Buddha? Let's talk about him or something. Yeah, Confucius. Let's talk, you know, whatever. Let's talk about Jesus. What? You're not able to bear my word. He's the only way. Oh, I don't want to hear it. You know, you're not able, Jesus said, to bear my word. And he told him why. He says, for you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do, meaning you want to kill me. You want to destroy me, but you can't do it, but that's what they wanted to do. In chapter 10 last week here, what did Jesus tell them? He said, you know what? You are thieves, you are robbers, you are hirelings. What a word to give to the religious rulers. And now Jesus makes a statement that to me is staggering. I would never want to hear this word spoken to my heart. Look what he says. He says, you are not my sheep. The most religious people of the day. And look what Jesus says about his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Loved one, listen to me now. Christian, listen to me. From the very lips of Jesus, do you want to know what sheep do, what his sheep do? They hear his voice, amen? Now watch this, and they follow him. They follow him. That's it. You want to know if you're a sheep? Are you following Jesus? There you go. Are you traveling with Jesus? Are you on the great adventure with Jesus? Whenever Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me, that wasn't a suggestion or an optional participation. He says, no, this is what my sheep do. My sheep, the ones that I died for, the ones that I purchased, the one that I'm going to go to the cross for, he says, they do something. Boy, they hear my voice. They hear. Isn't that wonderful that we hear the voice of the Lord? And he says, and they follow me. We don't follow a voice of the stranger. The Pharisees did. We don't walk in darkness, but the Pharisees did. No, listen, the most tragic, heartbreaking words that could ever be spoken is when Jesus says, you know what? You're just not my sheep. You don't belong to me. You're not of my fold. You're not in my pasture. Oh, you talk about me all the time. You say you preach about me all the time. But you know the truth of the matter is you say you represent me all the time. You even pray to God. But you know what? You don't belong to me. Those are tragic, sad words. Because see, if you're not the sheep of his pasture, look what you are going to miss. Verse 28. And Jesus said about the sheep, watch this, and I give, not will give, I give them what? Eternal life. They shall never perish. Now, in the Greek, that's a double negative. So it'd read like this. They shall never, no, never, no, never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Let me read that same scripture from the Amplified Version. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it. I love that. They'll never lose it. Nor will it ever perish throughout all of the ages to all eternity. They shall never by any means be destroyed. No one is able to snatch them out of my hand. I pray in Jesus' name that you, that the sheep of his pasture, that you doubt sometimes. There is no stronger statement found in the Word of God. When Jesus saves a person, he saves that person completely. Do you understand? I'm not partially saved. You're not partially saved. We're not hoping to get there. We are saved. Do you understand? We are being saved because he's praying for us. He's ever intercessing. He's interceding for us. Amen? Listen, when I look at it, I say, oh, Lord, what if... When the day that you asked Christ to come into your life, be the Lord of my life, and you meant it, I'm telling you what God started in you, he will finish. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ. This is one of the clearest statements. Now, Bill, are you getting ready to talk about once saved, always saved? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what the Bible says. You know, I don't like that phrase, once saved, always saved. Live any way you want. No, no, no. You don't live any way you want. You've been changed. Old things have passed away. All things become new, amen, because you're a new creation in Christ. You don't live the same way you used to live if you're the sheep of his pasture. No, you're going from glory to glory to glory. Some of you may be stuck in glory. You need to get unstuck so you go to the next one, all right? Now listen, that's a clear statement in the Bible. One who truly believes in Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, asking them to come and live into his heart, it says here, will never be lost. I give, that is present tense possession. I give it right now. I'm not going to give it. I give them, the sheep of my pasture, eternal life. Not earn it, not work for it. You can't work for it, amen? When it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that's a great thing to do. Work out, but not work for. Why? For it is he who worketh in you, meaning God. God's the one doing it, not you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. We can't do anything without Jesus, amen? Now, with all that being said, eternal life is God's greatest gift. I mean, our sins are forgiven. Oh God, we're gonna live forever. Listen, if one has eternal life, it is eternal. Death is not the end. I'm sorry, I have an allergy attack this morning. You can testify, Danny was out there going, oh God, help Bill. Don't you love that? I'm so sorry. That's when your throat closes up. It feels wonderful. But that's when I always say, I'm more than a conqueror. God is good. Now listen, where was I? Before the attack. Eternal life or death? Death is not the end, it's the beginning. It's to live forever and ever. That's why it says, I will never, you will never, the sheep of his pasture will never, ever, ever perish. That is the Good Shepherd's promise to you and to me. And listen, God cannot lie. Amen? This promise cannot be broken. No one can break it. It doesn't say those who never sin. We don't want to sin, but sometimes we do. It says, or those who never backslide. No, I don't want to backslide at all. It says those who trust in the Lord said they're never going to perish. Now listen, sheep sometimes get in the pig pen. This side was quiet. You know what I mean? And when you get in the pig pen, you get dirty. You get filthy. You're not supposed to be in a pig pen. You're sheep. Pig pens are for pigs. You know, I was telling the first service, I had this family one time that I visited, and they had a pot belly pig. You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, you know, they're tiny. They live inside the house. A pig. If that's you, I love you. And you know, the pig was just so clean, and the little hooves or whatever, they painted them like red and had a little bow. And you know, the pig would just, you know, with that ugly nose all around. And no matter how clean that pig was and how beautiful he may have looked, I have never seen a beautiful pig. But if he went outside and there was a wet watering hole, what do they do? They get right back and wallow in the mire. Why? They are a pig. Sheep don't do that. They get in there and they go, I'm filthy. Oh, God, look at me. I'm in the pig pen. Oh, and I feel miserable. I hate myself. I hate my life. I've sinned. I'm doing wrong. I know I'm wrong. I don't know why I'm here, but Lord, help me. Sheep cannot stay in the pig pen. When you see someone who says they are a sheep and they love the pig pen and they love being in the pig pen, they better ask themselves if they are a pig or a sheep. Do you understand? Jesus told us about my sheep. They hear my voice. I know them intimately. I know everything about them, and they know me, and they follow me. What did Jesus tell us over in the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7? He said, I'm so sorry. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord. I may have to have a translator. I am so sorry. I took medication right before I came in here because I was doing this stuff. So if I pass out, just pray for me. No, I can't do that, brother. I'll swallow it and choke. No, listen. Sheep don't stay there. Jesus said this. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Master, Master, Owner, Owner, shall enter the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? That's a frightening verse, isn't it? Oh, Lord, you're my Lord, you know, Lord, Lord. It says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven, listen carefully, and many will say unto me in that day, many throughout the ages will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, listen carefully, Lord, Lord, owner, owner, master, master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Now listen, Jesus did. If you read the whole text, you'd find out Jesus didn't condemn them for doing any of those things. Casting out demons, the wonderful works, preaching. He wasn't condemning them for that. But here's what he condemned them for. Listen carefully. And I'll declare to them, that meaning on that day, I never knew you. I never had an intimate relationship with you. You are not my sheep. It says, depart from me, you who practice an habitual, ongoing lifestyle of lawlessness. And we know that lawlessness is sin. Jesus, what did Jesus tell us in Luke 6:46? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I ask you to do? You see, sheep hear his voice, and then sheep respond by doing something in obedience. They follow him. See, it is self-deception, oh, that is rampant today, to believe that calling Jesus Lord is enough. That's just the beginning. Amen? Yeah, listen, a person can know all about Jesus. Maybe that person that I read from that interview, they know all about Jesus, but maybe they don't know him. Does that make sense? You know, listen, today, there's no doubt like it was then and today, a person can experience the power of God in their life. They can experience the presence of God in their life, but not have the person of Christ in their heart. Boy, that is so prevalent today. Jesus told us about eternal life. Listen carefully. He said this in John 5:24, most assuredly, remember that means amen and amen. It means it is certain. It can never be broken, can never be changed. It is infallible, immutable, the truth of God's word. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe the word of the Lord? Yes. Amen. I mean, listen, he just told us this right there. Most assuredly, he used the strongest language. He used a double amen. He says, most assuredly, it is absolutely certain. He says, you know what? You have eternal life. You have a life, if you're born from above, that will never, ever expire. And not only that, besides passing from death into true life. Isn't that beautiful? It says you'll never come under the judgment. You'll never come under condemnation, meaning you'll never be judged for your sins because he paid our sin debt. We will be judged for our works and our stewardship and our obedience. Amen? Some of them are going to be burned up, and then some of them are going to remain. The Bema Seat of Christ for the Christian is a place of reward, okay? Christians don't go to the great white throne judgment. That's a place for unbelievers. Now listen, I love that when it says, you know, it will not come, shall not come. That's powerful, into the judgment. Listen, do you believe really that it is a theological impossibility for us, the believer, to be brought into that judgment? Number one, we passed from death into life. But number two, whenever God saved us, he also justified us, amen, by faith, justified us, declared us innocent in his sight by virtue now of our relationship with Jesus. And he has not imparted, but he has imputed over into our account this perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at us, he sees our position in Christ. Jesus is perfect. He sees us that way. Now, here, we're in the process of sanctification. Again, change from glory to glory to glory into the image of our Lord. But boy, we have that promise. You see, the Bible is so clear. Romans 8:1, it tells us that, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I thank God for that. Romans 8:33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who's going to do that? He's justified us. He's saved us. How, you know, the Bible says that fear hath torment, but perfect love cast out fear. It says, as he is, so are we in this world, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. 1 John 4:17 and 18. Did you catch that? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Perfect love cast out fear. Well, how can we have perfect boldness in the day of judgment? Well, the reason we do is because as he is right this minute, not back on the cross, as he is right now, he says, so are we in the world. We're his body. Amen? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, listen, I look at that and I say, God, you are so good. And not only that, the Good Shepherd promises, watch this, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Did you know that that promise is tells us that we are forever secure? Forever secure. Nothing can snatch you out of his hand. You know, I told the first service, I said, Friday I was on the way to the office here. And don't you love my sniffling? I was a little sissy. You know what I mean? I was fine until Kevin came over and talked to me, sneezed on me. And I was driving in and to the office and, you know, stuck in traffic and, you know, as usual. And I looked down and I noticed that I didn't have my watch on. And all of a sudden, this is weird, but it's true. You guess God. I heard a voice and says, "Hey, you forgot your watch." Yeah? You know what that means? I would have said if I was that voice, I would, "Why don't you speak to me in King James? Thou knowest what thou meanest," you know, or something. Give me some of those, you know. And I didn't say anything. I just said, and he goes, "Well, the reason you forgot your watch is because your time is up. Today is your last day." And it was Friday. So I'm going, I'm just, you know, I look over, you know, like, and you say, "Bill, you are weird." "No, the cheese hasn't completely slid off the cracker, you know." But you know what I did? I said to myself, I said, "Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. They will not follow the voice of a stranger, but they will flee or run from them." Amen? So you know what? Here's what I did. I said to myself as I was driving, stuck in that traffic, I said, "No one, no one, no one, no one is able to snatch me out of his hand." Now listen, why did I say that? I said it because we renew our mind to the Word of God. We believe the Word of God, and the enemy comes and tries to speak to you or whatever. Maybe it was my imagination. I don't think so. I mean, but that's the way the devil works, or demons work, isn't it? They attack your mind. It wasn't my inner man that was speaking. It was my mind where I was hearing it. When I hear the Lord, I hear him in the inner sanctuary. Amen? Because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, we will never. It says never. No, never. Nothing. Listen, the security that you have, we're sheep. The security that we have is found in the ability of the good shepherd, not in the ability of the sheep. We're frail. We get into trouble. We're afraid of the dark. We're a bunch of sissies. Do you understand? Jesus said, "No, I'm the good shepherd. I don't lose my sheep. No one's going to, I never, like you hear me say all the time, I will never relax my hold upon you." He has every one of his little lambs, the sheep, he has them in a firm grip. Amen? And there's nothing that we need to worry about. The good shepherd promised. He said, "No one is able." Say that with me. No one is able. Man, I want you to do something. Here's some homework. Go look up that word "no one," okay? And you'll find out what it means. No one. It means absolutely no one, not even the devil. There is not one force in all of the universe that can sever a sheep's relationship with the good shepherd. Nothing. Do you understand? If you are truly his sheep. It tells us in Romans chapter 8, 35, following, what does it say? It says, "Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not death, not angels, not life, not principalities, not powers, not anything, not things created, nothing." Listen, we are so incredibly, unbelievably secure in Christ because he is our good shepherd. Amen? And not only that, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:3, what did Paul write? He says that our life, all that we are, life, A to B, birth to death, ups and downs, trials, temptations, whatever we go through, sickness, whatever it is, it says our life. All that your life is to Jesus. It says our life is hidden in God with Christ. What does that mean? That means that we have total and complete eternal security with the one who died on the cross and for our sins. Amen? That's what this means, loved one. Jesus said in John 6:39, listen to what he says, this is the will of the Father. Okay, the will of the Father, very important. The one who sent me, that all, and he's speaking about sheep, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Did you know it's God's will, our Father which art in heaven, it is our Father's will that not one sheep, not one true sheep, no matter how messed up, if you're a true sheep, you're not going to be lost. Do you understand? That is the Father's will. He says that you're safe. Listen to Jesus again in John 6:37. It says, all, not some, not a few, but all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, here it is, a promise, I will by no means cast out. Listen, that scripture is absolutely certain. It is a counsel that can never, ever, ever, ever be changed. God cannot lie. That is the truth. Listen, when God called me, he didn't say, uh-oh, you are a mess. Well, he did say that. But he's not saying, okay, I made a mistake. No, listen, over 40 years I've served the Lord. Well, really, I've tried to serve the Lord. 40 years and 40,000 failures later, he's never left me. Never once. When I thought, and even when I was a young baby Christian and accused him, I was wrong. There's never a time that Jesus has not been with me or you. When he says that, lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age, he really is. He said, listen, nothing's going to snatch you out of my hand. Nothing at all. He says, Bill, listen, all of you, a sheep has a seal. The seal of the Holy Spirit, the down payment, our guarantee, until the very day of redemption. Loved one, no one can break that seal. Amen? No one. It's impossible. No one can do it. No one is able to do what, when God does something, it's done. You can't change what God has done. You understand? God is so wonderful to us. And then Jesus says something. This is what set him off one more time. He said in verse 30, I and my Father are what? One. He didn't say one person. He said, we are one nature. We are one in perfect unity. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is one God manifested in three persons. Amen. They are all co-equal one to another. Jesus is God. John 14:9. What did Jesus tell Philip? He said, Philip, he said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, if you've been with me so long and you don't know me, you've been with me all this time, Philip. And he says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Remember when we covered the first chapter of John, there in verse 18, where it says about our Lord that no one has seen God at any time. God is spirit, and so forth. And it says that no one has seen him. It says, but the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The word declared, we get our English word exegesis. In other words, explained him or laid him out. Jesus brought God out into the open, if you will, and explained him to all man. That's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. Amen? The Bible says in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus, he is the image, the perfect image of the invisible God. Their perfect unity. What about our unity? What do we have that should be seen by everyone? The unity that we possess, when we get into John chapter 17, the incredible, unbelievable, high priestly prayer of Jesus. In John 17:11, he's praying for his disciples who are with him. And he prays to them, to God, and he says, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one. And then when he gets down to all believers and all future believers in John 17:20, Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Here it comes, that the world may believe. that the world may believe. That the world may believe. Well, what is that one thing where we should have, and it should be shown to the world, where we have that perfect unity in any Christian church that you walk into? It's right behind me. It's called love never fails. Amen? That should be the expression of this church. And the reason I say that is because we have that perfect unity. Jesus in the upper room in John chapter 13, what did he tell? He said, listen, a new commandment I give unto you. He says that ye shall love one another as I have loved you. And by this, here's how it happens. When you love one another like the Lord loves us, he said, the whole world's going to know you're my disciples. When people walk into this place, and I, you know what's wonderful? It's for me to receive emails and letters. And they say, I've never been so comfortable, or I can tell this is a loving church. Everybody is so kind and so loving. I hear that so often about you. You know why? Because you've received into your heart that we should love one another. Amen? We should honor one another, be good to one another, be tenderhearted one to another. That's what we're to do. See, love really never fails. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he says, above all, put on the bond of unity, which is love. It's what holds us all together. But Jesus said, he said, I and the Father are one. And when Jesus did that, the religious leaders, they're going crazy. Now watch verse 31. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered, he says, many beautiful, that's what that word means, many beautiful or good works I've shown you from my Father. Now watch this. Listen to his question. For which of those works do you stone me? Why are you stoning me? Which one of them? Are you stoning me because I fed the 5,000? Are you stoning me because there was a man at the pool of Bethesda, been in that condition for 38 years and I healed him? Are you going to stone me because of the man who was born blind, sitting at the temple, and now he has sight? You've excommunicated him. You don't want him? Which one? You tell me. Was it because I wrote my finger in the sand and all you guys left when you wanted to stone the woman caught in adultery? Which one? Which one are you going to stone me for? Because, see, literally, if we read it in the original language, they had the stone already in their hand, ready to cast that stone at our Savior. And the Jews answered and said, you know what? For a good work, we don't stone you, but for blasphemy, and this is what blasphemy to them was, because you, being a man, make yourself God, Almighty God, the creator of all. He said, and Jesus answered, and watch what he does. He's so incredible. He's going to use an obscure Old Testament scripture from Psalm 82, verse 6. It's only six verses. You just read it when you get home. And he says this, watch what he does. Is it not written in your law? He says, you are gods. Isn't that amazing how Jesus, he knows how to do everything. He reminds the rulers that are sitting in front of him, standing in front of him, he reminds them and says, listen, do you forget that the rulers back then, that the judges, the people who ruled, representatives of God, they were called Elohim, meaning the same word in Hebrew, God, but except it was meant for a little g, not big G, okay? He says, they're my representatives. You're my representative. You're supposed to be protecting the needy, helping the poor, bringing just judgments and so forth. He said, God called. He said, you're gods. You're judges for him. And if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be what? In other words, Jesus said, you don't have a leg to stand on. Because the scripture can never be broken. It is never can be annulled or set aside or proved false at all. See, heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. Amen. The Bible says that the word of God endureth forever. It lasts forever and ever and ever. And look what he says now. And do not say, or do you say of him whom the Father sanctified or set apart and sent into the world, or literally dispatched me into the world. You're blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, okay, he says, don't believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. In other words, they speak for themselves. And here's why. God, Jesus said, I just want you to know. I want you to know who I am. Jesus came to save them. Amen? He says, I want you to believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Isn't it horrible how religion is so blind? See, religion will always let you down, but a relationship with Christ will never let you down. Amen? He says, therefore, they sought again to seize him, and he escaped out of their hands. So Jesus, he's not going to return to Jerusalem, and he's gone. He won't be back until Palm Sunday, okay? And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Isn't it amazing that Jesus left? He returned to the very spot where John the Baptist baptized him. That's where John heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. This is where John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove and remaining upon him. Jesus went back to where his ministry, it didn't start, remember, until he was filled or the Holy Spirit came upon him. Remember that? Then he was driven into the wilderness. Then his ministry started. Now, with all that being said, sometimes it's good to go back where it all started. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever just go back maybe to the place where you came to Christ or maybe the person that led you to Christ or you go back and remember? You know, in 1998, on August the 8th, the 8th day of August, the 8th month, and 98 being the year 8 in Hebrew or Greek, the number of a new beginning, I felt in my heart to go all the way back where the Lord saved me, there on that beach in Jacksonville, Florida. I called the hippie on the beach, and I said, hey, Michael, I said, I am flying into Florida. I'm going to drive into Jack's Beach, and I said, I'm rededicating my life to the Lord right there all over again the day that I first met him. I wasn't in trouble. I'm pastoring here. It was 1998. I wasn't in sin or anything like that. But I just wanted to tell the Lord one more time. So I went back on the very day, August 8th, the day I came to Christ, and I went back and knelt on that beach in Florida, beautiful day, hot, and I said, Father, I rededicate my life, my heart to you. Jesus, thank you for saving me. And Michael said, wait a minute, I want to do the same thing. He gets down on his knees, the man who led me to Christ. And there we go. We prayed together for what God had done in our lives and gave him thanks. Amen. Sometimes it's a wonderful thing to go back and say, oh, Lord, this is the very spot. This is where I was lost until there was that moment. How wonderful God is. And it says there that many came to him and said, oh, you know what? John the Baptist, he performed no sign, but all these things that John spake about the man, they're true. So John the Baptist, his words are still bearing fruit about our Lord. And it says many believed in him there, but not in Jerusalem. Now, I want you, as we close, I want you to look at one more verse with me or go back to one verse. Please go back to verse 28, where Jesus, the good shepherd, I love this scripture. I pray that you memorize it. I pray that you get it embedded in your heart. Amen? Not in your mind, in your heart. Get it right here where you know beyond a doubt. He says, I give. Not that I will give. No, no, no. I give right now, a present possession. I give them, meaning the sheep, eternal life. If you are born from above, listen to me. You have as your present possession right now eternal, everlasting life. You have it right this minute. He says, and they shall never, no, never, no, never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know, you may be listening live right now to us, sitting in a couch, sitting in your car, wherever you might be. You may be in the overflow area. You may be here in this chapel. If you don't know Christ, Jesus, as your Lord, without anyone getting nervous right now and moving, this is time to be still before the Lord. You know, the most religious people in the world who thought they were perfect, if you will, they refused to receive and believe the truth that would have delivered them into or unto everlasting life. Jesus gives life. He doesn't give existence. You understand? He doesn't do that at all. Listen, there is eternal life and there is eternal death. The Bible tells us in John that there is the resurrection unto life and there's the resurrection unto condemnation or judgment. Listen, every person lives forever, but not everyone has everlasting life or the life that only Jesus can give. Are you following me? But everyone's going to live forever once we close our eyes in death. Oh, how tragic it is to know nothing of true life, true living. You would think if I made an offer, here is eternal life, you're going to live forever and ever in heaven, and here's eternal death, you're going to live forever and ever in hell. It doesn't seem like it'd be a hard decision, does it? But it is a hard decision. Because people are not able to bear that word. I'm a good person. No, you're not. There's none that doeth good, saith the Lord. No, not one. I'm not a good person. I'm not a good pastor. I'm not good. He is good. Do you understand? There's only one that doeth good, and it is Jesus Christ. The Bible is so clear. For God so loved the world, the people of the world, everyone in it, every nationality, every race, every language. For God so loved the world that he did something. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and here's the key that unlocks John 3:16, whoever would believe. Believe. If you just believe in Jesus. Jesus, come live in my life. Come live in my heart. It said, here it is, would not perish. There's that word again. Not go off into destruction. Would never perish. Never. No, never, no, never. But have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. Anyone. He wants everyone saved. But not all people want to be saved. Not all people will come to Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise, and the promise is this to us, eternal life. You know something? This life is passing away. This world is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible says he who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son will never see life. You know, if you don't know Christ, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, listen to me. Oh, he loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sin so you don't have to pay for it. And there's only one kind of life that Jesus gives and no one else in the universe can give it. And that is eternal life. He wants you to, like it says in Romans 6:4, he wants you to walk in that newness of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in Christ Jesus is eternal life. Amen? Oh, listen, that's what he wants for us. That's why Jesus later on next week when we're in John 11, he's going to say to Mary and Martha, what? I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believeth in me, though he die, yet he shall live. Believeth thou this, Mary? Do you really believe it? Oh, she said, yea, Lord, I believe. Listen, if you don't know Christ, I'm not talking about, I'm a church member. That doesn't count. That's not going to get you to heaven. Do you understand? He doesn't go, oh, good Baptist, good Presbyterian. No, how about good sheep? Christian, okay? Those are man-made names. Nothing wrong with those names. Wonderful names. Baptist, great name. But being a Baptist doesn't get you into heaven. Being a Calvary Chapelite doesn't get you into heaven. You have to have a relationship. You have to say, hey, I want to be his sheep. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian praying and no one looking around, listen, this is the most important part of this morning. And we say, you know, I don't know all your hearts, but God does. If Christ Jesus is not your Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, you may be backslidden. You may, I don't know, you may be saying, well, Bill, I'm on drugs. I'm addicted. I'm wiped. I'm not. Listen, it doesn't matter. He says, you come to me. I'm the only person that can clean you up. You can't clean yourself up. If Jesus is not your Lord, and you say, Bill, today I want him to be my Lord, And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You don't have to get out of your chair, any of that. But just lift your hand straight up and put it back down and say, Bill, that's me. Pray for me. Just quickly now, if that's you, just put it right up into the air and put it right back down. And I'm going to pray. I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over there. I see that. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to hear his voice. I want to be his sheep. I want eternal life. I don't want to come into the judgment. I want to be in heaven forever. Last call. If that's you, lift your hand high, put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Father, you saw the hands that went up this morning. That's a sign of faith. They're lifting their hand. That's a sign from their heart saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Save me now. Save me. I want to be the sheep of your pasture. So those that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Say, Father, today, I heard the truth. Jesus, you're the good shepherd. I want to be one of your sheep. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would truly believe and ask Jesus to be my Lord, you would save me. I believe. Save me. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Lord, there's no one like you. You are indeed the good shepherd, the great shepherd. They heard your voice. And all that the Father gives you, you will never cast out. You'll never leave them. You'll never forsake them. Oh God, you're so awesome. So wonderful, Lord, to see the Holy Spirit sealing all those hearts as the hands went up. Now, Lord, bless them. Fill them with your Spirit to overflowing. In Jesus' name. And the church says, God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?